Yesterday, the Fresno City Council unanimously approved a new lease agreement with the Fresno Grizzlies for the downtown baseball stadium known as Chuck Chancey Park. For the better part of 25 years, the fate of AAA baseball and the city's bottom line have been linked as a long quest to build the stadium was followed by an even longer quest to try to find a way to pay for it. That's an ongoing problem, and George Hostetter of the Central Valley Observer is here to tell us more. George, welcome.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
First of all, I guess we should predicate this discussion by saying for at least the last 4 years, the current owners of the team have been trying to sell it, and for even longer than that, they've been having some financial hardships, losing a good bit of money. A big part of their expenses happens to deal with the rent for the stadium. What does this new agreement do that the old agreement didn't?
Well, first of all, let me say, you know, you're right. At the council meeting yesterday, they were talking about how for 4 years, the Fresno Baseball Club has been trying to sell it. I'm not so sure that's true. It might have been for 4 years, City Hall has wanted the Fresno Baseball Club out of Fresno. But I'm not 100% convinced everyone within the Fresno Baseball Club wants to sell. But there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes pressure and arm-twisting, et cetera. But
well, everything's for sale for a price. This happens to be what that price is.
Sure, you gave it a big enough price, somebody will sell. But the marriage between City Hall and Fresno Baseball Club certainly was strained for a while. So and now we have this new lease, to me, Joe, what has occurred was set in place in October of 2000. The June 26, 2017 was inevitable once the council approved the deal that they did with John Carbery and the Fresno Diamond Group some 17 years ago.
But that was a very different deal for $1.5 million in lease annually with the team. And now we're down to, what, $500,000?
$500,000, but precisely. That was the whole point that, as you recall back then, the $1.5 million rent, even then, practical people knew it wasn't going to fly. Everyone talked about, well, for public consumption, yep, $1.5 million really reduced the hit to the general fund because of the debt service on the construction bonds. But the clock was ticking immediately to that it would have to, the lease payments, the lease rent would have to be reformed. And slowly but surely over those next 17 years, and especially after the Grizzlies moved in on May 1st, 2002, slowly but surely we had crises, and the rent got whittled down. So June 26, 2017 comes, and now it's from $1.5 million through these steps down to $500,000 a year. Well, Joe, what do you think the chances are that on June 26th, 2019, we might be back there again saying, you know, $500K, that might be a little bit high, you know, and we're losing X amount, and you want us to survive, want a viable owner in there, blah, blah, blah. We go through this again. And I would I won't bet a Kit Kat, but I suspect we'll be revisiting this rent in the coming years. You and I will be.
Well, certainly the downtown stadium has been a controversial subject for years. Gary Bredefeld, who's now back on the city council, was one of the key leaders in the push for the stadium and to approve the original lease. He voted for this amended one, though. Was that a bit of a surprise, or is it just a political necessity? Because he, during the campaign last fall, was very adamant about criticizing any efforts to criticize the original deal, saying it was the best deal, and the team just didn't follow through on all those concert promotions that were supposed to bring in that extra money.
Right, and if you listen to Gary's comments from the dais yesterday, he went down that path also, saying, you know, it was a great deal. We had to act in 2000. Oftentimes you don't get to act under perfect circumstances and create the perfect deal, but we acted, we got a stadium, and now we can reform it. But yes, if you recall also Gary during that campaign, but it was a mayoral campaign too, and Henry R. Perea had a similar point of view in his debates with Lee Brand. because Henry was on that 2000 council that voted for this stadium deal. And as I recall, Henry in his campaign said, similar to Gary, listen, put me in the office and we're going to make them pay $1.5 million. And the deal will work and the general fund will be benefited by it. Well, Gary's campaign statements worked for him. It didn't work for Henry R.
Very interesting. We'll never know what a Perea mayoral election would have meant for the team. But we do know that there is a new ownership group in the wings. Presumably, this new lease agreement was necessary, at least from the club's perspective, to bring in new owners. What do we know about these potential new owners? Because the sale hasn't gone through yet.
Right. There's a limited liability company that will own the, according to the staff report, a limited liability company will own the Grizzlies, and then they're above this limited liability company. There are two more LLCs above it. So, in other words, the there's a overall organization, and then a subsidiary owns the Grizzlies. Now, what we know, and it was like pulling teeth to get this from anybody. At City Hall to confirm the names, and even then it was done on the sort of QT. But there is Jim Kufos is one of the principals. Now, what I know of Jim Kufos is that I think he used to be a partner in Goldman Sachs, and from Southern California. And that he was a part owner, a half owner, or substantial owner of what used to be the High Desert Mavericks.
In the Single A California League.
Right. And the High Desert Mavericks no longer exist, right? I think at the end of the 2016 season, the Bakersfield Cal League team and the High Desert died from lack of attendance. And if you do some research on the internet, you'll find out that the High Desert Mavericks and the City Hall, where the home field was, Adelanto, am I pronouncing that correctly? It's near Lancaster, Palmdale, in the desert in Southern California. There was quite a brouhaha over that. The parting wasn't entirely pretty, and so there's that. And then, of course, two more principals are Ray Baker and Michael Baker, father son out of Denver, and Ray Baker is involved in, at least from what I know, to a degree in baseball world through being the chairman of the board of the government entity that runs Coors Field, where the Rockies play their home games in Denver.
So we know this. Do we know, have any idea of a transaction price for this team? And because we know the Grizzlies haven't been making money, or at least a look at their financial statements would suggest as such. But is there a possibility the owners are making a decent profit on this sale, or what do we know?
Well, excellent question. No, I don't know what the transaction price will be. A friend of mine, David Taub, the journalist who works for GV Wire, he has reported that the Grizzlies at one time had a market valuation. Of course, you know, whether somebody pays the cash for a market valuation, it's a different deal, but in the $23 million range. But, you know, what's interesting, Joe, is that you do hear on background at City Hall when you talk to sources that when it's sold, if it's sold and when it's sold, that the Fresno Baseball Club and its investors won't be making a profit. Now, that may just be information given to a reporter to somehow make this go down better with the taxpayers, but that when you consider all the money that they've put into it because they didn't make a profit year in, year out, in fact, they would lose $1.2 to $1.5 million a year, that they're going to end up, you know, like a homeowner underwater.
So speaking of a homeowner and being underwater, the City Hall also is something of a homeowner with Chuck Chancey Park. Opened in 2002, as you said. I remember that opening day. Optimism was very high. It was thought that this would spark a downtown rebirth. State-of-the-art stadium. That night it was absolutely jam-packed. It's not packed most evenings. In fact, it's far from packed most evenings. Right. And the stadium is now aging and needs some upgrades. How much did that play into this this overall issue?
Well, you know, excellent point. I don't know quite how to answer it except to say that it was brought up at yesterday's council meeting to City Manager Rudd. He was at the public microphone answering questions, you know, and he, this kind of big picture question was asked of Bruce. And Bruce goes, well, as a profit center, you know, the stadium obviously has failed. But as an amenity to help downtown, it has succeeded. And I was sitting in the audience thinking, well, I don't know if amenity is the right word. Joe, it's interesting about this stadium. You're right. When October of 2000 comes and the council agrees to build it, 5-2 vote. Of course, Jim Patterson later vetoes it. It gets overridden. So very contentious. And then remember, Alan Autry takes over as mayor soon after that. And this whirlwind effort to build it. May 1st, 2002 comes, high expectations. Well, Joe, how has downtown changed in those 15 years? And I would contend that the stadium has been a factor, and Bruce Rudd said this from the microphone yesterday, has been a key factor in those dramatic changes. I walked after the vote yesterday, as I like to walk, as you know, and so I walked throughout downtown, and it's really an amazing place, and it's changed just so dramatically, and I think the stadium has had a key part in that and deserves credit for it. So in that sense, even though the $1.5 million rent, blah, 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 that hasn't worked out, as you might say, I'm not so sure that somebody can say the taxpayer didn't get his or her money, a legitimate return on his or her money based on what's happened in downtown since then.
So I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but as I recall, it's around $3 million a year the city pays on debt service on the stadium. Is that sound about right to you?
Well, at first it was about $3.4 million and change. As City Manager Rudd pointed out yesterday, if you recall, maybe 3-4 months ago, City Hall refinanced the whole slew of bonds. And it turns out that the stadium bonds were part of that refinancing effort. So now the debt service is about 3.1. To somebody who's followed as much as I have, I found that very interesting that they've knocked $300,000 off of that, off the pay. And just to circle back, how everything's connected, Joe, is that, well, as you've noted earlier, that there's this maintenance issue at the stadium, and there's going to be this ongoing fund, $300,000 from the city and $300,000 from the new owners every year to help with maintenance. Well, by that reduction in the bonds, what they're paying, there's the $300,000 from City Hall without a hit to the general fund.
Very interesting. So with the other things that are going on downtown, do you see the stadium as being maybe even a potential for more development? We see that the Terrence Frazier and his group are building or plan to build a new retail complex on the parking lot in the corner of what was once the Fulton Mall and Inyo Street. If you look at the map when they first talked about the schematics of that, they included in some of the later phases land that's actually part of the stadium itself, the player parking lot and things there. Do you think that's something that City Hall in the future might be looking at doing, is turning an asset into underperforming asset into one that might generate some additional income by building on the site?
No, excellent point. I didn't realize that. Thanks for telling me that Terrence and will then end up building, I guess, a little bit to the west then, huh?
Well, it would be on Inyo Street. It would be further down. Mm-hmm. And in a later phase, is that something you think the city would be open at? Because we've even talked about, was there a potential for reducing the size of the stadium, mm-hmm. or doing other things like that, because it is overbuilt for, frankly, what is generally brought in for regular attendance.
Oh, excellent point. But to answer your question, look at the Convention Center parking lot. The Cosmopolitan is on it. Clearly, City Hall and the private sector get together and do interesting things. The Cosmopolitan, from what I can gather, walking by it a lot, is very busy, as opposed to being in Chinatown where it was. So I guess if the deal points are right, it would work. In a similar vein there, you and I have been talking at during the break about this lease that also includes a provision where the new owners will host 100 events per year. And the definition of events doesn't necessarily some big concert from a big rock group or whatever it is, although that certainly is possible. But the idea is it might be a meeting, it might be a youth a soccer game, it might be a youth baseball game, whatever it might be, the whole range of community events, and hold 100 of them at some place in the stadium. It doesn't have to be on the field. You know, it could be in the concourse, it could be in the club, whatever it might be. And this is in the contract. From near as I can tell, it hadn't been in the contract, any of the other contracts or amended contracts. So why? Well, I think as you were talking about geography, just if you look just due north of the stadium, Tulare and H, what do you have there? And I sense that the stadium will be a key factor in the development of this kind of geographic area that has nothing there. The Greyhound bus station used to be there. Obviously, the high-speed rail depot is going to go there. You've got parking lots heading, essentially nothing but parking lots heading due north to the Hotel Fresno. And I'm just wondering if City Hall is maneuvering in an indirect way to turning this area into Fresno's new Civic Square.
Very interesting thought. We'll have to see how it plays out, see if this new ownership deal plays out and actually closes, and what it means for the future of the team and City Hall's bottom line. I'm sure you'll be reading about it in the Central Valley Observer and hearing about it on Valley Public Radio. George Hostetter with the Central Valley Observer joining us today. George, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe, for having me.